Good morning. How are we? Who's feeling the adrenaline pumping? If you worry about Gary Greville, he was here at the first service and he's got the adrenaline pumping twice in the one morning. Wowee. That video is about Eliud Kipchoge. Eliud Kipchoge, on the 12th of October last year, attempted to break the two-hour mark for the marathon distance. Eliud was already the world champion, the Olympic gold medal holder, and he set out on a time trial course in Vienna to take on a challenge, to do something that nobody had done ever before. He was joined, Eliud, by a team of 41 elite runners, mainly middle distance runners who came out and paced him to help him keep that pace up to be able to try to break that 2 hour mark. He was cheered on by thousands of people around the course. He also put in some strategies, their team put in some strategies to help this to come together. Some of the things they put together were they had, you might have noticed in the video, there was a green laser projected onto the ground by a car that was sitting out in front to actually give the pace for the runners to keep up. They had a special formation for the runners to go into to protect Eliud as much as possible from the wind resistance to allow him to cut through the air as well as possible. He also, so I love this one, he had some custom-made Nike running shoes to help him to do the effort. These shoes had energy-returning foam, and they had carbon fibre insoles. How would you like some of those? You feel like you could probably run a 2 hour marathon if you had those carbon fibre shoes. Eliud also had a team around him where he had people on bikes riding beside the runners and handing them fluid and handing them these special carbohydrate gels that they could take in, absorb and keep the energy going for the run. The attempt was beamed live on YouTube, and I will admit that I got really fixated with it. It was amazing just watching it on my phone and watching these guys just running. But keeping up with that pacer was where it was really exciting to see how they went. As you can see from the video we watched this morning, Eliud achieved the goal. You beauty. 42.165 kilometres, 1 hour, 59 minutes and 40 seconds. That's an average speed of 21.2 kilometres an hour. So let's put that into perspective. Think about Vic Park, which is somewhere I always get mixed up where we are in the building, over there. Now, if you run around Vic Park in 14 minutes and 13 seconds, put your hand up. Oh no, not too many. If you can run around Vic Park 14 minutes and 13 seconds times 8, then you can keep up with Eliud. The other classic one that we have in Ballarat is what's your lake time. So run around the lake, 6 kilometres around the lake. My best of all time, I was much, much younger than I am now, is 23 minutes. I'm still proud of that. Nowhere near what we're about to hear with Eliud. Mark Dayton told me before he's getting down under 19 minutes for his lake. No, he's about 26, he just said. Eliud's done the lake in 17 minutes and 6 seconds. Go for a drive around the lake and time yourself. You'll probably find it takes 13, 14 minutes just to drive around it. And he also did that 7 times in a row, around the lake. Kipchoge's time, unfortunately, doesn't count as the absolute world record because of all those things that he put in place. They sort of take the world record for those events like the Berlin Marathon or the Olympic Marathon, where they can't have all those special things in place. But what he does speak about is that to break 2 hours, a lot of it's about breaking that mental barrier that somebody's done it, one guy's done it, so can other people do that in the future? And if you go back in history of athletics, you'll see back in 1954, a bloke named Roger Bannister ran the 4-minute mile, did the mile, 4 laps of the oval in 4 minutes. Since that time, there's been many other athletes who've been able to do it because of Bannister breaking that mental barrier. In 1968, the 100 metres was run for the first time in 10 seconds. And now that's sort of a given thing that the athletes who are competing at the Olympics are certainly going to be able to do that. One thing I really love about Kipchoge in terms of doing a bit of research about him is he does acknowledge God in the performance that he's had. He comes from a community in Kenya where they've got a really strong faith community, and he says that his mum is praying for him, he knows that, and his community around him is praying for him. So he's got that understanding about God's influence and impact in his life as well and what he achieves. How much energy must it take to be able to run that fast for that long? It takes a lot of fuel and a lot of energy to be able to do that. I found a running website with a calculator to talk about how much energy he would have expended. And these figures might or might not mean anything to you, but it's 2,828 calories, which is 11,832 kilojoules. To put that into a little bit of perspective, to get that sort of energy into our system from food, it equates to almost 8 bowls of spaghetti bolognese. It equates to 27 bananas, real bananas, not those lolly bananas. Or, for the less healthy eaters around here, 8 medium fries from Macca's. Or almost 14 Krispy Kreme donuts. Or, for the really unhealthy, 5.5 Big Macs to get that sort of energy. So the energy to run a sub-two-hour marathon is massive. But the energy we need to complete our day-to-day activities and God's work in our lives is something that we seek and desire. And how can we garner that energy that Eliud Kipchoge had in our lives so that we can serve God to the best of our ability? This morning we're going to spend some time thinking, learning, and researching about that. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, thanks so much for bringing us here this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to meet together, to learn together, and grow together as individuals and as a church body. Lord, we just pray that you'll be with us now as we learn a little bit about how we can be energized to do the work for you. How can we be the people that you want us to be? Lord, just pray you'll be with us now in this time of Bible study. In Jesus' name, amen. So this morning we're continuing on in our series of Ready, Set, Go, and some features and some qualities that we can really seek out to be really ready for a massive 2020 in our church here. It's great to hear the story of Kipchoge, but we can regularly be confronted in our lives by a lack of energy and difficulties in maintaining our fire and our fervour to do all that we can with God's purposes for our lives. This morning we're going to turn to the Old Testament and have a look at a time where a hero of the faith was confronted by this challenge. So Elijah had just had a significant victory in removing the prophets from Baal and their potential to impact the people and turn them in a direction away from God. But he's then faced with opposition and fear. So he took off and he ran. As he stopped and reflected, he realized how vulnerable he felt and how out of energy he was, and how his emotional, physical, and spiritual health weren't in all that great a shape. His busyness in doing the work for God had consumed him, but once his goal was reached, he'd actually hit the wall a bit. Often discouragement can set in after a great spiritual experience in our lives, especially those requiring physical effort and involving great emotion. And Elijah then expressed his fatigue in a couple of different ways. He expressed it emotionally. He said, "I'm afraid, I'm exhausted." He had to rest under the bush. He felt under attack and he didn't want to go on. He was physically run down as well. He needed to sleep, quite a decent sleep, and to be actually told by the angel on two occasions to eat and to drink. He was spiritually empty as well. He had moved from being zealous for God to being rejected, to being scared, to being lonely and not wanting to go on. Elijah did need a rest, and he received some great direction from the angel of the Lord, and he was ministered to physically with the food and water and allowed to have some sleep and some rest to rebuild his strength. He also was given some direction in terms of how to go about communing with God and going to the right place. He was given some direction in terms of what are the next step, and the angel from the Lord actually gave him that direction and moved him forwards in his life. He sought God by trekking for 40 days to Mount Horeb, which is a sacred place where God had actually met Moses and had given his laws to the people. He then prepared himself to hear God's word by resting briefly once more. And then Elijah actively sought out what God's plan was for the next part of his life. He took the opportunity that God provided to share his anxiety, his fear, and his fatigue. And then God spoke to him in a gentle whisper. Note that God didn't speak. He didn't speak in the massive wind that came, the loud noise of the wind, or the big earthquake that rattled the stones. God showed real sensitivity to Elijah in ministering to him and speaking to him through a gentle whisper. So this presents to us that maybe we won't hear God's voice for our next step through something massive, a big word from heaven or a big rally we go to. It may actually be that we need to slow down, quieten ourselves and give ourselves an opportunity to hear God's word in that gentle whisper. He gave encouragement to Elijah in a gentle whisper, and note that he gave Elijah a plan in that gentle whisper. And a plan is something that can be so powerful in giving us direction and giving us energy to take on a challenge. Note that God didn't want Elijah to stop for too long. Sure, he did let him have a bit of a rest, but he also communicated there was still much for him to do and to achieve. God presented some real practical duties for Elijah and also some help for him in anointing Elisha as his aide, as the apprentice prophet. So how can we take some direction from this story in developing and maintaining our fervour to do God's work? How can we avoid the risk of becoming exhausted and taking us away from God's plan and direction for us? Ultimately, we're looking for ways to build our energy, to do God's will, and to be an active member of the body of Christ. This morning, I want to go back to good old Eliud Kipchoge. I just think he's fantastic, and I think we can learn a little bit from the way that he would have achieved the goals that he set out to do. For Eliud to achieve that two-hour marathon, he needed three things that we're going to talk about this morning. He needed fuel, he needed training, and he needed recovery. How can we learn from that in our Christian walk and what we take into the coming days, weeks, months of 2020? From a fuel point of view, we heard earlier on that the amount of energy that Kipchoge expended would have been massive to get his Herculean performance through. And also how he had assistance from his support crew, providing fuel for him as they rode along on the bikes and gave him food to keep on going. For Elijah, in his state of weakness, God provided the fuel for him. At first, physically, by providing food and drink to strengthen him, but also spiritually in sending an angel to encourage and provide some practical direction for him. By fueling up on two fronts, Elijah was then able to face the journey ahead of him, that physical journey of walking for 40 days, and that then leads him to receiving God's word and his plan for the next step forward. So how can we practically fuel up in our Christian walk? I think the best way is just for us to be spending plenty of time in our Bibles and learning what the Bible does have for us and the teachings that we can get from that. So we need to read it. But there's also so many other ways that we can access Jesus' teachings from a practical point of view to really fuel up in our lives. We can fuel up by using and accessing the apps that we can get on our phone. I know Janelle and I have both got the Bible app there. We can listen to the Bible from an Audible point of view. So I listen to the app Audible, downloaded the Message New Testament on Audible, and I've just found that it's really useful when I'm mowing and whippersnippering and driving into work to listen to the Bible. That's been a really good thing I've just discovered recently to be able to do. You can fuel up by listening to podcasts. I really like listening to Greg Laurie and to Timothy Keller, just really good teachings in terms of the podcasts we can get, as well, of course, the podcast from here. A simple plan that someone mentioned just during the last couple of weeks was for us to sort of look at how much time we might spend on social media and making sure we're spending at least that much time in fueling up from the Bible. What goes into our minds and our spirits is what will come back out. So let's fill our heads with words from God and teachings from Jesus. God fuel equals God results. The second thing that Kipchoge needed to look at was how does he train up to be ready for this Herculean performance that he came out with. He didn't just fuel up by getting the right foods into his system and the fluids in. He then got out and built up his fitness. For us in our Christian endeavours, we need to also train our souls up and utilise the attributes that God's given to us in our lives. So Elijah actually went out for 40 days and 40 nights and he journeyed to the mountain of Horeb. He was physically building his body back up, and that's a lot of days of training straight, isn't it? No doubt he was also spending some time, you'd think in all that time of 40 days, he'd be spending some time reflecting on what God had done in his life through him and what he might be able to achieve into the future. From a practical perspective, how can we train to achieve all that we can in our Christian walk? Training and developing comes for the athlete by getting out the door and building on what level of skill and fitness they may already have. In the same way, we need to train by getting out the door, so we need to accept Jesus as our personal Lord and Saviour, and then commit our lives to serving Him, knowing God, and making God known. We can then progress our training by utilising our gifts. So spend some time praying, thinking, talking to people from our church here about what your gifts might be and how you might be able to utilise those within this church and within the world that we live in. Let's see if we can apply our gifts to help people and to serve God. And we can really strive in our training to be as Christ-like as possible. Take real encouragement and inspiration in our training that we do from the passages that I'm sure the Kipchoge would have got some inspiration from as he trained for his performance. Let's have a look at Hebrews 12, 1-2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. And from 1 Corinthians 9, 24-26, run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that lasts forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. The third aspect to what Kipchoge would have needed to do was to rest and recover. And this is one that really comes out in the passage that we were listening to this morning. And one of the major developments in sport and athletic performance, and something that I find really interesting, is how athletes recover and get ready for their next training session and for the next game and their next performance. Say if Kipchoge were to train the marathon distance to prepare for the marathon, say, I'm going to train the marathon distance every day. He'd certainly be building up his cardiovascular system to a point where he couldn't fail. But unfortunately, his body wouldn't like it. He'd either break down with an injury and have to see someone like me for physio, or he would break down with an illness and become unwell. Our bodies actually get stronger, not just from the training that we do, but also from the rest and recovery that we do. Muscle fibres with rest get bigger and stronger, including the best muscle in our body, our heart. Extra blood vessels develop in response to the load of training, and our systems become more efficient when we have a rest. We need to rest to rebuild our systems so we can go out and train again. I read a book last year, which is shown up here on the screen, which is looking at all the different rest and recovery modalities that athletes around the world will use. And this author, she went around to different places and tested out these different rest and recovery ideas. Some of them were quite scientific and some of them hadn't been backed by science all that much. But things like ice baths, sports drinks, compression skins, flotation tanks. But she did find that out of all these things from a science point of view, one of the best ways for the athletes to recover was by resting well and sleeping well. Our passage on Elijah shows that he did need a bit of rest. He'd been striving for God, he'd been training really hard, but his system needed some recovery, physically, emotionally and spiritually. And he had been guided by God to rest and recover and be ready for the next challenge. Elijah also had to be quiet and to be able to hear God's gentle whisper. Likewise, we need to find ways that we can quieten ourselves to hear that message that God does have for us. Jesus said in Matthew 11, 28-30, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus certainly sets an example for us here. In his life, in his ministry, he bought some time to rebuild himself and to get his connection with God and to build up his own energy. Jesus spent some time resting also between efforts. And a great story from Mark 4:37-39 is where he and the disciples are on the boat and the wind and the squall is going and he's actually sleeping. And the disciples say, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" And he got up and he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. And then Jesus went back off to sleep. He needed his sleep. No, the Bible doesn't actually say that, but we can imagine that maybe he sort of got up, did it, and then wanted to get his rest again. So we can see that Elijah definitely needed the rest, and Jesus took time to rest. But a really important message that comes from the story of Elijah is that rest is actually followed by action. Don't fall for the trap that we need to be resting all the time, that we need to be just quiet all the time and just resting. God had a plan for Elijah. He stilled himself so he could hear the message that was delivered in the gentle whisper. But God confronted Elijah with the need to return to his mission. Elijah needed to speak God's words to Israel. He still had work to do, and God gave him that message. And Elijah followed God's direction. He went into action to anoint Hazael and Jehu as kings, and he also employed Elisha as his apprentice prophet to help move that the work that he was doing on. So we've got to get that balance right. Not enough rest equals fatigue. Too much rest will mean we have a lack of direction and not following God's plan. So if Kipchoge were to get this balance wrong, then he either gets injured by doing too much or he doesn't achieve the goal because he doesn't actually put the work in. Rest and recovery needs to be part of their balanced approach in serving God in everyday life. So it's a bit of a cycle. We need to spend time resting and learning what God wants from us and then actually getting out and doing it. And if you do feel let down a bit by a great spiritual experience, remember that God's purpose for your life is not yet over. So if you've achieved something and then you feel a bit down, then there's certainly going to be other things that God has planned for our lives. So seek God's direction to help you set fresh goals for the coming year. Seek guidance on the following questions. Firstly, and most importantly, have you accepted Jesus as Lord and you're seeking his guidance? Secondly, what are your spiritual gifts? What plans does God have for you? How can you practically apply your gifts within his plan and to further the work of the body of Christ and to bring glory to God? Jesus really inspires Simon Peter in Matthew 16, where he says, "You are Peter, a rock. This is the rock on which I will put together my church, a church so expansive with energy that not even the gates of hell will be able to keep it out." Let us be part of the vision that Jesus has had for communicating his message of salvation to the world. Let us be the people who hope in the Lord, people who have our strength renewed to soar on wings like eagles, run and not grow weary, and people who walk and not grow faint. Right now we're going to head into a time of communion, and during this time of communion I'd really like you to reflect on a few things. Firstly, I'd like you just to reflect on the precious gift of salvation that we have, that the sacrifice Jesus made for us on the cross. I'd also like you to reflect on the significance of what the cracker means. It's a sign of his body, it's broken for us, and on the juice, which is a sign of his blood spilt. This is the foundation of our opportunity to be the best we can for God. I'll ask the helpers to start handing the communion around. I'd really like you to reflect on what the two emblems do mean this morning in a bit of quiet time here, but also like to take this opportunity to stop and listen for God's gentle whisper as we take communion. If you can quietly reflect on the plans that God has for you in the coming days, the coming months, and the year ahead, open yourself up to his gentle whisper and be energized by the joy of knowing our amazing God and knowing that he has a plan for you that's coming up.